Dr. Zhu is assistant professor in the Department of Community Medicine at West Virginia University and the ICRC there. He received his epidemiology training from SUNY Albany and his medical training at Beijing Medical University in China. Dr. Zhu.
Thank you for attention. No, thank you for the introduction. I have some corrections to make. So we just established our School of Public Health. So I'm officially with the Department of Epidemiology right now, and I was just promoted to be an associate professor. Thank you. Today's presentation is mainly none of my work. It's from my doctoral student, Tony Rudisill. This is one of her three dissertation articles. So talk about some background. As we know, Americans are aging. The baby boomers are reaching age 65 and over. They are the most rapidly growing subgroup of the population. It has been projected that the number of licensed drivers greater than or equal to 65 years will exceed 40 million by 2020. Okay. As we know, the older drivers, they have the highest rate of fatality when they are involved in a crash. They also have elevated rate of crash per mile driven compared to the other age groups. Unfortunately, as we age, our health declines. So basically, a lot of people rely on prescription drugs or over-the-counter medications to maintain health and well-being. Medication may control the symptoms of the disease, but they also have side effects. They may interfere with the psychomotor function, central nervous system. Then they may interfere with the ability to safely operate a motor vehicle. So we must strike a balance between limiting the disease symptoms or progression with the side effects of the medication agent. In addition to illicit drug use, as we know, some people resort to illicit drugs to cope with declining health, or just for recreational purposes. It has been reported that the current generation of older adults, they have a higher rate of prevalence of lifetime drug use. The illicit and illicit drug use among drivers is largely understudied in the U.S., particularly among senior drivers. Our analysis purpose is to explore drug use among drivers greater than age 65 and over who are fatally injured in motor vehicle crashes. And our study question is about the most common specific and broad group of licit and illicit substance and the combinations found in this population. We studied 5-year period from 2008 to 2012. So our data source is publicly available data, which is FARS, probably many of you have known this data set. It's a census of all fatal crashes. Our population is limited to fatally injured drivers with a known drug test result from states with acceptable data quantity. We choose fatally injured drivers because the testing rate of drugs for this group is high. But even for this type of drivers, the data quantity can be of issue. So our acceptable data quantity are three criteria. The first is at least the city has tested at least 50% of 50 of fatally injured drivers. Okay, so if the drug positive rate is high, greater than 70%, or quite low, less than 5%, we exclude that state. Another criterion is if the list of other drug is greater than 70%, we think is there's some data issue, so we exclude that state. So we have 28 states and the District of Columbia, met our inclusion criteria. We have a comparison group, which is fatally injured drivers 30 to 50 years of age. So we chosen this age group because they represent the average driver on the road. They are usually the safer drivers behind the wheel. Statistical analysis. We examined drug prevalence rates. Our topics were any drug use, multiple drug use, drug and alcohol use only. Our regression model was a modified Poisson regression with robust variance estimates. We use a random effect model to control the correlation among states. We examine proportions, we examine frequencies, we use the SARS for our analysis. Let's look at our results. So this table is the prevalence rate and the rate ratio. Okay, so if you look at this number, so which is any drug usage, so we can see that it's about 178 out of 1,000 among older drivers had any drug in their blood or urine. So, you know, it's about, say, 18%, okay? Compared to the middle-aged driver, age 30 to 50, so which is about 34%, okay? And the rate ratio is 0.53. This means for senior drivers, they are 47% less likely to have any drug in their, you know, in their system, blood or urine. For multiple drug groups, they are also about 57% less likely to have multiple drug groups. The drug groups in FAS are these groups, the cardiac, depression, stupefiant, hallucinogen, cannabinoid, fenciclidine, anabolic steroid, or inhalant. So we choose this broader group drug group. If they are in two broader drug groups, we know it's definitely multiple drugs. If they are the two drugs in the same drug category, maybe it's just one drug and they have two drug test results. One is the permanent drug, the other is the metabolite. We use multiple drug groups here, so we want to make sure we're not, you know, we are sure that using multiple drugs. The other category here is drug and alcohol use, and the rate ratio comparing senior drivers to middle-aged drivers is 0.12. So they are, the senior drivers were about 88% less likely to, you know, combine drug and alcohol use. For alcohol use only, we can also see a much reduced risk for alcohol use by senior drivers. On this slide is the proportion of broader drug categories and the specific drugs identified in fatally injured drivers. So the left columns are basically the senior drivers, and the most common category is others. Okay. So this is actually what we expected from senior drivers. Like I mentioned, so the broader group drug categories are narcotic, depressant, stimulant, hallucinogen, cannabinoid, fenciclidine, anabolic steroid, or inhalant. So we're not talking about like some cardiovascular medications, you know, over-the-counter medications such as aspirin or antihistamine. So basically, we expect for senior drivers probably they use a lot of drugs not classified in FAS. The next common category is narcotics, pain medications, and the next one is depressant. In comparison, if you look at middle-aged drivers, generally they are all common, but we can see a higher proportion of cannabinoid, marijuana, and stimulants. Okay. Let's look at specific drugs. If you look at older adults, so basically, you know, they have a high proportions of benzodiazepines, hydrocodone, oxycodone. Basically, they are the prescription opioids. For middle-aged drivers, we also see higher use of benzodiazepines and prescription opioids, but we also see a higher use of cocaine, which is about 17%. Look at commonly encountered broad drug categories and combination identified in fatally injured drivers. Okay, so here we are just looking at by whether they are using one drug or two drugs, we're just choosing the specific or broad drug categories. We see some similar results here for older adults. We are seeing, basically the common use of other medications, narcotics, depression, if they had only one drug detected. If they have two drugs detected, we see the combination is narcotic and depression or two narcotics. Okay. For middle-aged drivers, the winner, the most common drug was cannabinoid or marijuana, which is about 37%. The next one is stimulant. If they use two drugs detected, and we see some common use cannabinoid and stimulant, narcotic and depression. Okay, so let's look at the main findings. So in this study, we found that drug use among fatally injured drivers among older adults was detected in about 18%. Okay. Among the drivers testing positive, the majority were confirmed to have only consumed one or two major drugs. We don't see a lot of polypharmacy or polymedication or drug use. Depressants such as benzodiazepines and narcotics such as hydrocodone were commonly consumed both separately and in combination. The rate of drug involvement, multiple drug use, drug and alcohol use alone were considerably less in senior drivers compared to middle-aged drivers. The potential explanations. So for this study, we found only 18% of seniors tested positive for drugs, which is much lower compared to 34% for middle-aged drivers. One possible explanation is self-regulation, because we know seniors, if they know their driving ability is limited, they may take the medication at night, or if not taking the medication, they don't drive. There's potentially the drivers in this analysis were healthier because they can still drive. They are in good health. If you are in, their health is worse, they may not just stay or use the public transportation. We also, in our analysis, the majority of our population were males. So basically, we know males take less medications compared to females. This may explain our results. The other thing is medication adherence may not. We cannot examine this factor. Another main finding of our this study is they have high prevalence of narcotics and depression among seniors testing positive. Actually, we've seen this trend not only in motor vehicle crashes, but also in general emergency department visits, death certificate data, not limited to transportation data. So we expect that. There are some societal trends to explain this, high prevalence of narcotics and depression in our group. As we know, there are internet pharmacies, and it's easy to get the medications, and we have increased generic drug manufacturing, so the price is cheap and it's affordable, and we have national initiatives for and treatment of pain, so the doctors are prescribed opioids more often. Our study strengths and limitations. Our strength, we have multiple state data over a 5-year period, and in terms of limitations, you know, is because of the fast data, we use existing data, and this is a very good data set, but it's not perfect. Fast doesn't list every drug in existence, and many substances are listed as others, so we cannot study these drugs. And it's harder to distinguish the metabolite from its parent drug. For example, heroin can be metabolized into morphine. Morphine is itself is a prison drug, so we cannot distinguish, for some medication, we cannot distinguish metabolite from the parent drug. And not all the drivers killed in fetal crashes are tested for drugs, and there are differences in state reporting existing. And here we just say if, you know, all the drivers are tested, all the fetal drivers are tested in fast, that will be perfect for research. Okay. And also, a maximum of 3 drugs can be reported, so this may cause our examination of polypharmacy, maybe no. The last one is our result do not prove that the drugs identified were the cause for collision or that a prescription drug were being misused or abused by the driver. Here I have some references. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you. We have time for one question.
So did the data identify the driver at fault? So for instance, if I used the drug and I was just driving and somebody hit me and we both died, would the data distinguish between the person was at fault or, okay. I mean, it could be, you know what I mean?
Okay, so in FAST, you may be able to identify for the drivers, maybe based on driving conditions. I don't know why you ask question. I'm still trying to get.
Joyce,
you know,
you are,
but,
Joyce.
If a violation is charged by driver, and the driver is killed, and the driver is not at fault,
it's not the same thing as fault. You're right, but it is. It is some sort of identification. So FARS does, of course, have limitations. Unfortunately, we have to move on. We've got to keep going the schedule. So thank you, Dr. Zhu.